Welcome back to Looking Above. I am Brooklyn and this is Karen. And this season, if you haven't been following along, we have been talking about prayer. Today is our last episode, technically, of this season. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about unceasing prayer. And when you decided what prayers we would talk about when throughout the season, when you were discerning that, I love that we're ending on unceasing prayer because that is the goal.
Right. Yeah.
And it sounds so daunting, which we'll get into that later, but it is possible. So that's cool. But first, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we humble ourselves. We want to be in constant communication with you, God. We want to be aware of your presence always and just constantly be looking back to you always, Lord. And we just thank you that that is possible, but we ask for the strength and the remembrance just throughout our daily lives, God. When things can be so busy and trying to steal our attention, Lord, help us to turn our faces to you. Give us little nudges and reminders, because in our humanness, we're so easily distracted, God. And I know you know that, and I know you have grace for us, and I'm thankful for that. So just meet us in our daily lives, God. Everyone listening, Karen and I, and just remind us that you are always with us, that the fruit of your spirit is within us, and just help us to remember. That's the word that keeps coming to mind, is remember. We love you and we are thankful for you, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, remember just keeps popping into my head today, which is kind of a theme with unceasing prayer. But so tell us what unceasing prayer is.
Right. So I like that you said it's kind of our goal, which is why I did make this our end of the semester podcast, which is interesting because it is not the end of Foster's book.
No. Yeah.
And he kind of has his book sectioned differently, with more inward and outward, and you know, so his is very thematically structured. And I just really think that this is our end goal. This is where we are headed with all of this, is to be in a place where we are constantly communing with God, where we are constantly speaking to him, listening, just back and forth all throughout our day at all times. More aware of his presence, more seeking and desiring to just have that communication. And then because of that, just having it transform not only our inner life, but then our outer life as well. So it's exactly, you know, it's what you're saying, like unceasing prayer, which, as you said, sounds so daunting. Like,
well, and like last week we talked about the prayer of the forsaken and kind of feeling like, when you can't feel God's presence. And this is the opposite almost. Feels even like though it. You can do them, I think, simultaneously, because you're just always aware of God's presence. Right. But that doesn't mean you always feel it. Awareness and feeling is different.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I really feel like this has been a theme in my last season. And I said last week that I've felt like I've been kind of in a spiritual desert. But I also feel like God is teaching me to be aware of him always. Instead of my like 2-hour prayer time in the morning and keeping him in that box just throughout the whole day. And you said sometimes the desert can lead you to seeking him throughout the day. Because that is, it does it. You want your thirst for him quenched. And so you're constantly thinking about it. Like, I need you.
So interesting with the desert analogy. Oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah. You're in the desert and you're thirsty and you're like, God, give me the living water.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that it has had that result in my life. When I get so thirsty for him is when I do seek him all day long, all the time. reading the Psalms has been a really good encouragement and reminder for me, as we see the psalmist, you know, saying like, he cries out to God in the morning, he cries out to God at night. He, like, there are these little glimpses here and there throughout the Psalms where it's like, it isn't all day long desire and quest for God. I love that he says several times about like looking for God on his bed. And so I've kind of made that like a reminder to myself, like when I lay down at night, like as I drift off to sleep, I can still be seeking God. I don't need to just replay my day and rehash it and think about what's coming the next day. I can lay there and seek God as I drift off to sleep.
Yeah.
In this season for me. The other way I think that I've been kind of trying to lean more into this unceasing prayer is just reminding myself constantly, like, the Holy Spirit resides within you. Mm-hmm. That means wherever you are, whatever you are doing, God is there. And we know that, like, we have that knowledge that God is with us always, that, you know, he exists outside of space, outside of time. Like wherever we go, he is there. And we see that, you know, Psalm 139, like I could ride on the wind, you know, the dawn, I could go to the depths of the grave. I can be, you know, coming and going, and wherever I am, God is with me. Like we have this knowledge of that, but I've been trying to like translate that knowledge into an awareness or a seeking after that awareness. Like, hey, God, I know your Holy Spirit is within me. Make me aware of that now.
Yeah, that's when the word remember comes to mind for me. In a podcast I just listened to, John Mark Comer was saying that a psychologist, and he didn't name who it was, said, though, that the beginning of your day and the end of your day are the two most important for shaping your mind. So like drifting off to sleep, thinking of God, waking up and that being your first thought is God, are so important. Right. But also Tyler Staton said that there was in the first like few hundred years of the early church, they would do 3-time-a-day prayers, like morning, midday, and probably night. And that was just what they did.
Right.
And he was saying it's a shame that it's been removed to like, for holy people or something, and not the common church, because he does think it's really important. And reading more about this and learning more about this, I think that it is too.
Right. We need those reminders. Left to our own devices, we are going to chase after distraction and chaos and busyness, and we are not going to naturally seek those times. We need those reminders throughout our day that kind of punctuate our day and give us that call back to prayer, to return our hearts to God. And I know they talk a lot about that, like having those set times. I'm not sure if they're the ones, I think maybe they have that there's an app that actually, like it's a prayer app that actually sends you those reminders to pray at set times. And I think some of us feel maybe like, if I need that, then I'm weak, right? Like I shouldn't need a reminder to seek God.
It's kind of pride though at the same time.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
But I've been there. Yeah. Right. Like I can just do this.
But I can't. I don't. No. I won't. I will.
And the enemy is out to steal your attention with whatever he can. And gosh, in the season I'm in, like I am so distracted always. I left my stroller in a parking lot because I am so distracted. It's like just there's so many things trying to steal our attention. And that's in every season, really, just changes a little bit. But those reminders just kind of refocus it, refocus it. Richard Foster talks about just things that happen every day that you could do. He talks about being a surgeon and when you're scrubbing in. He talks about being a teacher when the bell rings. And so it's just looking at your day. What does your day look like every day? And finding those things that happen every day, which we wake up every day, we go to sleep every day. So those are two really great ones to start with.
Yeah.
But it could be nap time or changing a diaper or doing the dishes. Really, there's, I'm speaking for my life, but there's so many things that we do every single day, that meals, like
that we can use as reminders
to refocus,
right, to get our hearts turned back. And I think the point of that being that the more that we use those things to set us into these rhythms, then it will naturally flow in the in-between as well. But it takes us a while. And he talks about this, like, this is a training. We have to train ourselves. It is going to take work. We don't just naturally fall into unceasing prayer.
Right.
That is not natural for any of us.
No, it's not.
And I think it, you know, when we talk about this, and maybe we should mention some of these scriptures, like, we'll read these passages that talk about this, praying continually. We read that. And for most of us, myself included, we have probably read them and thought, it doesn't really mean continually. Like, surely we take breaks in our prayer, right? Like, I have other things to do. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I have a job. Like, I have all these things that I need to do with my day. So surely God's not actually asking me to pray all day long without ceasing.
But he is.
But that's exactly what the verses say, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 literally says, pray without ceasing.
So don't stop. Which we're going to explain that more, because that is daunting and, and it's kind of a hard concept to wrap your head around. But like, we there's steps, and like we were saying, you start with just setting a time each day or a few times each day.
And for all of us, all of our faith journey is growth, and it is a journey, and we are being refined and we are being sanctified, making more into the likeness of Christ as we seek him. And so none of us should think, well, I'm just going to jump right into the deep end of this. We work progressively toward it, but it is good to have a desire and a end goal, you know, to say, well, I'm not going to run the marathon today, but the marathon is my goal. And it might take me 5 years until I run that marathon, but that's my goal. So for all of us to say, you know, this is our goal. And even Foster said, I have not fully mastered like the end goal of unceasing prayer. He says that. And this man is like
very dedicated.
One of the deep spiritual gurus of our day, right? Like, just when it comes to spiritual disciplines, he is the standard which people are measuring themselves against. You know, he has written the books on this. People go to him for guidance, and he's saying, I haven't fully achieved.
I want to ask him if he has now, because this book was written
a couple decades ago,
right?
Yeah.
I'm interested. He says, though, and I thought this was interesting, do we really think we can experience integration of heart and mind and spirit with an erratic prayer life? Do we really believe we can be like Moses, speak face to face with God as someone would a friend by our unpredictable prayers? No, we develop intimacy by regular association, and we develop ease as well. So the more we do it, the easier it will be, because we'll be more comfortable.
Yeah. And with that, he shared that while it is a discipline, while it is difficult, it is going to take work. As we master this, the rest of life becomes easier.
Yeah.
And I think that is also very encouraging, that, okay, it's going to be difficult, but it's the result and the benefit, that the reward that we reap is so worth it. And I think when we talk about our lives being hectic and busy and distracted, the goal or the end result, what we reap at the end of this, is an inner peace and calm, because we are in constant communion with God. And so all of this is going on out here still. It doesn't mean that life gets any less hectic, but that our inner life becomes so peaceful.
That's beautiful, yeah.
The verse that so many of us know, right? Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So in every situation, pray, right? All the time, it goes, you know, it's the same thing as unceasing. And I think you mentioned in this book, he kind of tells us how Paul, in all of these epistles, like every single epistle, tells us pray without ceasing, pray continually in all things, pray. Like, he says it over and over again. But the next verse, verse 7 in there, tells us that that we will then, the result is the peace of God,
mm-hmm.
right? That comes over our hearts and our minds. And, you know, I've had my kids memorize that, you know, when they've dealt with anxiety, and we've talked about that, like, pray about everything. And I think so often when we read that, we then think, situation arises, I pray, I get peace. But I think when we really look at the heart of this, it is, if I am in a constant state of prayer, then my heart and mind will be guarded with the peace of Christ.
Yeah.
So it is not just a situational, absolutely, situationally we pray, but when I am living this life, that's what Paul is saying, like, dedicate yourself to living this lifestyle of prayer, because when you do, you will be guarded. Like, that, don't be anxious about anything. You won't be anxious about anything because your heart and mind will be guarded by his peace.
Mm-hmm. And when your attention is on God, it really puts everything else into perspective as well. Mm-hmm. And idols fall away, and little things, worries and cares fall away, because you see what's really important. And if you can stay in that space always, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I do think that God is teaching me a lot about that this season, but it isn't easy either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He says, we must want it. Want it with a consuming passion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to, like, this is going to require work, but it's also about our heart's desire. We have to desire God above all things. This morning, I was reading the psalm that we're reading today. I think it was 73. And he was talking, the psalmist was talking about how it's so easy to look at the rich and see how easy their lives are and think, I want that. I want that ease. I want, you know, like, they don't have to worry about anything. Everything is just so easy for, you know, the rich. And of course, the rich are being equated with the ungodly in this mm-hmm. passage. And he says, so easy for me to just fall into that temptation to look at what they have and think, that's what I want. But then as it gets down to the end of this psalm, he says, he realizes that, you know, of course, that's folly. Mm-hmm. That's folly. And that there will come a day when there will be judgment, when everything that they have is going to be gone. And it's, you know, their life is built on a shaky, shaky foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's in a moment wiped away. And then he says, like, all I desire is you, basically. Whom have I in heaven but you? And the underlying idea in what he is saying is that his desire is only for God. And I think there are times that we in the church put this desire on heaven, right? I want eternal life. I want the benefit of heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want hell. I don't want torment, whatever that is going to look like. Like, I want heaven. And the question then becomes, is it heaven if God's presence is not there?
Mm-hmm.
Which we know the answer. It's not. But is what you are desiring God and God's presence, or is it just the absence of pain?
Yeah. That's good. I've had to look at that a lot lately. Even last night when we were worshiping, I just realized, like, I need to let go of, and we kind of talked about this last week, but, like, wanting God for the comfort he gives me, mm-hmm. and even the peace and all the things he gives me, and just mm-hmm. wanting to be with him for mm-hmm. who he is.
Right, right. Do we want the healing, or do we mm-hmm. want the healer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do we, it's that same thing. Do we want forgiveness, or do we want the forgiver? And we have got to grow. And that's part, I think, of this prayer, is that we have got to grow past the desire for the benefits of God and into the desire for God alone, for God above everything else. Not that we can't want healing. I want healing. I ask God to heal my back all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, just this morning, I was asking God to heal my back, but I have got to develop a desire for God, the healer, far beyond my desire to have healing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
As we desire God above all else, above the benefit, what you're saying, that's when I think we start to progress into this form of prayer, because we recognize, like, I cannot live without his presence. I cannot live without his communication. I don't want to.
And that's kind of what the desert has really shown me too.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't want to live without you,
right.
God.
Because it feels really,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Practically, Richard Foster says there's two types of this unceasing prayer that he's practiced.
Mm-hmm.
So one is more liturgical and formal and kind of, I would say it's easier kind of for me, for who I am. It's easier. It's kind of like, I don't have to think really hard. And then one is more spontaneous and, I don't know, a little bit deeper kind of.
Yeah.
So the first one is called breath prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you practiced this before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's where you have a prayer that is one breath. It's just very easy. And so those are, this is, I think the reason it's easier for me right now is that this season in my life, this is kind of where I go a lot more throughout my day than the deeper one that we'll talk about later. Because he gives some examples, but there's a lot of psalms that are breath prayers. He gave Psalm 139:1, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me." And then there's some liturgies too, like, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Just things that are so easy to say, and you can remember them and repeatedly say them throughout your day.
Right.
And he talks about that when you do that, it kind of moves from a head prayer. It kind of starts like a head prayer. Liturgies do. And then it moves to a heart prayer, though. And then it kind of becomes deeper and more of a belief and in a plea. And it's just more deeper than a than a head knowledge. So I was going to say that I do these a lot when I'm disciplining Quinn. And I'm losing my patience. I will just very quickly ask God for his help, or Lord, help me turn her toward you. That's really commonly mine. I just want to turn her towards you, not whatever worldly things I'm thinking of right now. Or even like arguments with my husband. God, let me be gentle. Let me be your love. And they're just really easy to say because I've said them so much that I don't have to think about it. And I don't have to have 5 minutes to do it.
It's centering.
Right.
And I think on a past season, I've said that when I'm dealing with my kids, when I'm in a moment with Paul where we're disagreeing, my go-to is let me be love. And so it's always just a let me be love, let me be love, let me be love. Like, I'm just like breathing in, like, and I do, like, I literally take a breath with it, like breathe in, like think again, like Holy Spirit, like you are like breath to us, you know, like, okay, I'm breathing you in, like, help me breathe you back out. kind of thought. But yeah, it's always that let me be loved. Like, don't let me act on my own flesh.
Right.
Because right now I might not be kind. So it's very, to me, the breath prayers are very centering. And I know some, when they will describe a breath prayer, will always also have like a phrase that you breathe in and a phrase that you breathe out.
Oh,
so it's kind of like a, like, Holy Spirit, come, like, let me be whatever kind, or, you know, whatever it is. The way Foster talked about it was he talked about like developing your own breath prayer and letting the Holy Spirit kind of guide you into that. And just being calm and quiet and asking God, what is it that I need from you right now? And then as God speaks that word to you, you know, maybe it's peace. For so many people, it's probably peace, right? And then he talks about, you know, like letting that kind of wash over you, thinking about like, who has God revealed himself in his word, right? So Jehovah Shalom, right? He is our God of peace. So then saying maybe, you know, like, Jehovah Shalom, give me your peace, you know, like just having these phrases that throughout the day as the things that are feeling unpeaceful come into your day, that you can just go back to that over and over. And he suggests, you know, having one and sitting in it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he's so big on the meditation kind of thing, and just sitting in a concept, sitting in a aspect of who God is, who his character is, and just letting that kind of become a part of you.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about being marinated before, yeah. You know, just letting us soak in that idea. Like, he is my Jehovah Shalom. Like, he gives me peace. That is who he is.
Yeah. And that's a good one, because when things are unpeaceful or you're having panic attacks, or mm-hmm. if you do need gentleness, mm-hmm. Those things cloud your mind, mm-hmm. and you can say this. I think he even said you can say it, not inauthentically isn't the word, but more surface level. Mm-hmm. And the more that you do it, the deeper it works within you, like you mm-hmm. saying, marinating in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so helpful. I definitely use that in the night when yeah. I have panic yeah. attacks and things.
Right.
He talks about how there's like a nearness and an intimacy with it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, because so it can start out on a more shallow level. And like we said, kind of permeate as the more you do it. But it is a very personal prayer, even though it's short.
Right.
And sometimes I think we need these long, extravagant, beautiful mm-hmm. things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But these simple, like, God, I need you.
Right.
And it's that surrender and the admittance that you need him mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that I think makes it so personal and intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as you allow him to develop one of these prayers within mm-hmm. you, I mean, there is nothing wrong with taking a liturgy
mm-hmm.
and using that. I think the one that you wrote here, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I think that was even in the liturgy we read last night during communion,
mm-hmm.
you know, have mercy on me, a sinner. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with using a written liturgy, with taking one of the Psalms. You know, we had a friend who said she's been praying Psalm 63, I think, mm-hmm. over
every
and over
morning, yeah.
and take a phrase from that and just memorize a phrase from a Psalm and let that be your cry to God. If there's one that really resonates with you. So yeah, but it does become very personal. It becomes a part of you, because it is just something that is as simple as breathing. Like it is just like, we don't have to think about breathing. And I think that's the goal with those breath prayers, is that we don't have to think about them, that they become, like you said, part of us. And so that it's just so natural, like breathing, that we're just kind of praying these prayers over and over throughout our day. And after a while, you don't even consciously think about doing it.
Yeah. Well, like with your let me be love,
mm-hmm.
you probably don't think, oh, I need to pray right. Like, there's not mm-hmm. a whole thought process that goes into it. Now you've probably mm-hmm. like, let me be love. And it's just mm-hmm. natural at this point,
right.
Which is really cool that it becomes a part of your inner,
mm-hmm.
inner workings.
Right. Right.
Okay. So the second one is the practice of the presence of God. So this, he said, is being joyfully aware mm-hmm. of God throughout our day.
Right.
So this isn't really like a stop and be aware. It's like mm-hmm. continual is how mm-hmm. I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah. And I think this, again, it's something that we grow into,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of what I was saying about trying to be more aware that the Holy Spirit goes with me wherever mm-hmm. I am, you know? So it's just this inner awareness, but also like external awareness, like God is here. He is with me, and I can be in communion and conversation with him everywhere I go, everything I do, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like that it's called practice. Like, because it takes practice
of the presence.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it is a practice. It is something that we work into, that we develop this ability to recognize God's presence
mm-hmm.
everywhere we are, in every other person.
Mm.
That's something that God's also been impressing upon me, you know, is not only, you know, like you've heard like, something along the lines of like, we don't go to church, we are the church, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are the body of Christ. Christ resides within me. Christ resides within you. When I am with you, I am in the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And I think we just take that for granted or live completely unaware of that. And so that's something that, you know, practicing that I've been trying to recognize is that when I am with the Lord's people.
You're with the Lord.
I am with the Lord. And they are the love that they're showing me is God showing me his love through them.
Mm. Yeah.
That really changes our day, right? Like I can walk away and be like, oh, Brooklyn is so gracious. And I just love when I get to spend time with her and give you credit.
Right.
For that. That's how we often live. Or I can recognize like, God, thank you for the gift of your grace mm-hmm. that you show me through my friend Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's not talked about commonly.
And totally changes and makes us more aware of his goodness in our lives. Like when God's people come together, you know, we had a friend who's going through a difficult situation. And she said to me, you know, I'm praying and I'm putting this in God's hands. And my immediate thought was, Karen, you have God within you.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what you get to do now? You get to be his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to some friends. Let's figure out how we're going to meet this need. You know, totally changes things when we recognize like Holy Spirit resides within me. If I have a desire to do something good, it's not because Karen wants to do something good. It's because the Holy Spirit has prompted me mm-hmm. to do that. If someone does something good, you know, it's like every good and perfect gift is from above. If someone is good to me, that's a gift from God. That's God's presence in their life, enabling them
mm-hmm.
to show up for me. And, you know, our human flesh, our pride wants to take credit for that, wants to receive credit for that. All the time we're saying, I did this, I did that, I prayed, I, you know, I showed up, I served, mm-hmm. and we want credit for the good that we do. But this practice of the presence of God just reminds us like it is not me. Any goodness in me is him.
Mm-hmm.
Any goodness in you is him. And I love you. And I'm grateful that you are faithful to obey him and show me that goodness. But ultimately I need to see that goodness as coming from him.
And it brings it down to right in front of you because he is right in front of us. And and it is a reminder that he is here. Like he is here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can often forget that. The prayer of examine keeps coming to mind. And I feel like that's a good starting point for this. He didn't necessarily say that, but again, that's why we're ending on this one.
Right.
The prayer of examine, you can go back and listen, but it's just noticing God throughout your day. This would be more throughout your day, noticing God.
Noticing him without having to end your day or start your next day with where were you yesterday kind of thing. Right. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. It's a good way to develop this practice.
Mm-hmm. Because it is kind of like a muscle, like noticing, being aware, remembering.
Right.
He also gives us steps, which I'm thankful for because I love a little written direction. But his first one is outward discipline, which I think is very fitting because we do. We start with our outside. I even hear, I just was reading something about like laughing until you, like fake laughing until you really laugh. And then it can actually like change your mood.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes sense. But so you begin in simple and he said even artificial ways.
Right. And that goes back to some of what we've talked about, right? Like finding those triggers throughout the day. Let's redefine the word trigger, right? But finding those places throughout the day that
catalysts
that will remind us to stop and pray. Maybe it is using that app. I'll have to find what it is and put it in the podcast notes, but using that app that's going to send you those. Maybe it's just setting alarm on your phone, you know, for certain times during the day that, you know, stop and pray for my family, stop and pray for, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it is using time in the car. Like when I'm driving to somewhere, I'm going to pray for wherever it is that I'm headed, you know? Mm-hmm. So using those things, I know Paul had asked us, the staff in the past, on your drive or your walk to work, use that as a reminder to pray for Pastor Mike. You know, so finding those things throughout the day that are just a reminder to go back to prayer. So
like, if your favorite color is purple, every time you see the color purple. I did it one season when I was teaching at the rec. Anytime I'd walk in through a doorway, which was really cool.
Like pray for that space.
Yeah. And it was, and like the people that were going to be in there. And I did it in my home and then I was at the rec a lot or even the grocery store. When I went through a door, I prayed. And it did. It is like a recentering.
My problem with that is that I already forget things when I walk through doors. I would show up in the next room and be like, I don't know why I'm here, but I prayed for you.
So we're good.
But I do love that. I think that's a great
reminder. Probably couldn't do it now that I have two kids. I did it when
you
I had one.
That's your stroller.
I do, though. I told you this the other day, and I don't know if it's the same thing, but when I see a sunrise in the morning, I like take it very personally. And I told you and our friend that I feel like God made the sunrise for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, God, thank you for painting that.
So that's
picture
a picture
for
great,
me this morning.
Like call to worship, call to prayer. Yeah. Like when I see this, this is going to be my reminder to praise God. That's awesome.
And so it makes it
all
personal.
Find those things right throughout the day that are going to remind us to refocus, to praise, to thank Him. He also talked about turning it into a game or like making it almost like a challenge.
Yeah. How many minutes a day can I pray
or
be in communion with God?
Right. So like, just see how much you can do it in a day.
Didn't you say you tried this once and then it was like the first hour or two you'd already forgotten?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I just want to say that because
we're so driven to distraction. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. It was actually an assignment for my class when we were studying prayer and when we read this book. And it was one of those things like try and make it through your day, just constantly pray for every person you see.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was like, well, I think I made it through about four people and then I forgot I was doing it for 4 hours. So, but the point of this and the external is that we have to start somewhere and that it is a training. It is a process. You're not going to do it overnight and you're not going to get to steps 2, 3, and 4 until you have continually pursued step one.
Yeah.
So
for like a long time.
So when we fail at praying throughout the day or seeing how many minutes I can pray and then I've forgotten before lunch, do it again after lunch, do it again the next day, like keep pursuing this, keep attempting this. We have to want it.
Yeah. And then that's where God's grace comes in too. And and then, so the second step then, so you're external, now you're turning it into the subconscious mind. So he says, breathed longings of wonder and adoration in the background of everything, like a tune that you're humming throughout the day, but don't realize it. I've done that with whistling and humming where I'm just singing a song and I'm doing my work and I'm not even thinking about what I'm what I'm humming. So that's what he's kind of talking about. Subconscious, like awareness.
Right. And I think that's, you know, with the breath prayers, I think that's where we get to with them. Like you said, where you say it so often that you're saying it without telling yourself to say it, you know, without that conscious awareness.
The catalyst.
Right. Right. It's just becomes part of you so that you're doing that. And we don't even realize eventually that, oh, I am saying a prayer in my head right now. Like I am talking to God in this moment. So often I do this with songs. So I listen to worship music so often. But I think I've said before, you know, I wake up in the morning with a song that's on my heart. And I truly believe that God gives me those songs to kind of set the tone for my day. But then I won't even realize it. But all throughout the day, whatever that lyric is just, it's like the humming thing. Like it's just on repeat in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking about it often. And sometimes I will be like, oh my goodness, I'm thinking about that. And then it's a good like pause in my day to stop and think about, what are the words that you are praying, singing without even thinking about it.
Which God made our brains. And mm-hmm. so he made it so that we can have a subconscious mind as well that mm-hmm. is moving while we're focusing on something else.
Right.
He says that this, Richard Foster says mm-hmm. this, that this is where our behaviors change, which makes sense because if you're doing the breath work and you're, or the breath prayers, I mean, mm-hmm. and when you're praying, let me be love, mm-hmm. and your attitude and your heart are going to change toward the situations that you're dealing with.
Right. It goes back to that verse, you know, when we are praying mm-hmm. unceasing prayers, God's peace is going to come over us. Our lives will look different. And so we eventually come to this recognition that I'm not even thinking about praying, but I am praying, and it's now changing how I'm behaving in this moment.
Yeah, I love that.
It's transformative.
Mm-hmm.
And often I don't think that we're even aware of it until, you know, something might draw, you know, like I said to you, there was a meeting I was sitting in and all of a sudden I was like, this discussion normally would have made me very anxious and I feel very peaceful right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because I am seeking after God and spending so much time in prayer and listening. And so I'm sitting here praying over the situation without even realizing mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
Like, yeah.
And then you recognize like your behavior, your outward behavior. I'm not feeling anxious. I'm not getting defensive. I'm able to stay calm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've noticed that a lot in my parenting and in my marriage mm-hmm. too. And you're right. You don't notice it until you're in the situation and it's like subtle. Mm-hmm. It's not like, mm-hmm. and also it takes time. And so that's why I think we don't notice it right away until we're like, wow, God really transformed my heart
mm-hmm.
right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
The third step he says is prayer moving from mind to heart.
Mm.
So we're kind of working our way there. We're right. outward, then we're right. subconscious, and now we're going yeah. to our heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes more loving, he says, tender, spontaneous,
mm-hmm.
less like work, he says, more like delight. So mm-hmm. it's not those catalytic thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, but.
Right.
Things that are triggering us to do it anymore. It is now something we long for.
Mm-hmm. And it's just an inner working. Like yeah, it's just
happening.
Right. Right. And probably at that place, which I don't know that I've been there often, but probably at that place, like it's not even, you know, like when I said at that meeting, I was suddenly aware of how I felt. I think it just is who you are then.
Another thing I was thinking of is just even looking back at like me 5 years ago, like mm-hmm. it's so much easier to see
mm-hmm.
the transformation over large gaps of time.
Right.
And I can see all the ways God has transformed my heart through prayer when
right.
I look
right
backwards.
And I think, you know, it's important for us to note here with these steps. I don't know if it's steps so much as like levels, yeah. right? Like I've leveled up kind of thing.
And, the thing is, you can fluctuate.
And absolutely, absolutely. And you might move back and forward and back and forward. And I think that's kind of what Foster was saying. Like I haven't been able to live consistently in level four. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that set us back. There are things that distract us. And we're pulled from that practice of the presence of Christ. We're pulled from that being able to be in constant communion. So and I don't think it's something that we can necessarily say, okay, now I'm going to go to level three. You know, it's that as we are pursuing God more and more consistently, his spirit just moves us, you know, and it's just this
flow,
right? It mm-hmm. just naturally, his grace is what moves us through these levels, really.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's the final level
where we want to live? Level, the winning level yeah. is it permeates our whole personality
mm-hmm.
and it develops as a deep rhythm inside of us is what mm-hmm. he says.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that it's hard to understand unless you're even there,
mm-hmm.
but it's just who you are at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Just constantly communing.
I don't even think I've hit this level, to be
yeah,
honest.
No, I don't think so.
But like, yeah, the third one, I think I go in and out of, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, this one just sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Peace. Right. And it comes from a life lived in pursuit, and probably many years of life lived in pursuit of God and his presence.
Well, was it Richard Foster that said he's been doing that, like trying unceasing prayer for 10 years? Or it might not have been him. It might have been, I've listened to so many things, but they've done it for 10 years and they're like, I'm still nowhere near it. And I pursue it every day. Mm-hmm. And everyone's timetable will be so different too. But it is like a lifetime of pursuing and seeking.
Yeah, I was thinking, this is just me. There's nothing backing this statement.
Okay.
I think that the number one thing that is keeping us from this is cell phones.
I bet you're right.
Because they are such a distractor, because they are such an interrupter, because notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And I've turned off almost all notifications on my phone, but it's still a distraction. And, you know, and social media, I think, is just like, recently I've been processing this again, and, you know, it just is a distractor, is something that draws our attention away from God, away from practicing his presence. And could we get to the point spiritually where we use it to draw us towards him and to just be in prayer for all the people? Yes, we could. But I think so often it is just distracting us, pulling us away from him, getting our hearts and minds focused on things that are not looking above.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I think, as you know, as I was reading this chapter, I just thought, you know, it's the cell phone. It is the number one enemy.
And it's with us always. No one goes anywhere without their cell phone anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I agree with you.
Yeah. Andrew just said he asked if I would buy him a new Bible because he wanted a different translation for his classes. But he said, I want one that's small enough that I can carry it. He said, I have a friend who has just started carrying his Bible everywhere he goes, like in his hand, everywhere he goes, because it is a reminder to like constantly be pursuing God, to be in the Word more. And that's what we do with our phones. We carry them everywhere we go. It's in my back pocket. Like I can look at it all anytime. The time.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have been trained to seek Google, to seek Facebook, to seek
constant communication with whoever we want.
Whomever. Uh-huh. That is how we have now rewired our brains. And so these two 21-year-old boys are saying, I want to retrain my brain to look at God.
Mm-hmm.
More than I'm looking at the world, than I'm looking at all these other sources.
Yeah, that's good.
I know.
I need a pocket Bible too. So if you find one, send me the link. No, that is really good. And I think it's so cool that they are so aware, because they've grown up not even knowing what it would be like without it.
Right.
But they know that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really cool. Yeah. So basically what the word that kept coming to mind for me was just abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I know both of us
wanted
that word for a year.
Right.
But it's just a constant dwelling with God, in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine, but I want to know what it's like to live my life that way.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I want to be a level presence. 4.
Right. Right.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we get there step by step,
and then sometimes back and then sometimes forward, back.
Right. But it's exactly what this podcast is based off of. The only way we will achieve that is if we start the process of looking above, if we start turning our eyes above what's going on.
It's a choice.
Absolutely.
And I think so often we think it should just happen to us or for us. And that's spirituality sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a choice to keep looking above.
Right. Right. Yeah. A daily, moment by moment, as everything comes. And the more that we make that choice, then we move through those levels. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a choice anymore. It's just our natural inclination.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Before we wrap up, we do want to say that we are going to have some bonus episodes coming up in a few weeks. There are a few more chapters of this book that we want to discuss. We're actually going to be discussing them for a retreat that the women here at New Life will be attending in a couple of weeks. And so we're going to be recording a couple extra podcasts on a couple more forms of prayer and looking into the Lord's Prayer kind of as the source for those discussions. So those will be released sometime probably in April. Mm-hmm. So this is our last formal
official
episode of this season, but we will have some bonus episodes coming up very shortly.
Yes, I'm excited.
Mostly because we just don't want to stop talking about prayer.
Yeah, we're never done. Always find more.
It's been a good discussion, and we just want to keep that discussion going. So whether you're doing this with a life group or on your own, we encourage you to stay alert, look for those, subscribe, whatever you have to do, I don't know, to get the notification of when that happens, but there will be some more podcasts coming here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm excited. So as we end today, we just want to remind you to keep looking above.